Sunday morning, you're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
The question today from our listener is, how do you know if you are in the will of God?
You know that you're in the will of God when you begin to read the Word of God and He begins to show you His commandments and you be obedient to what the Lord has shown you. No matter if you're facing difficulties or situation, you know because you have read the Word of God and you've trusted in Him and you're doing the will of God that you know that you are in the will of God.
Thank you for your question. Today we're going to be talking about Acts chapter 27, beginning at verse number 14. It says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so we were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Verse 43 and verse 44, it says, But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. We're just talking about being a survivor. There are many times in our life when we feel like that we are out on the stormy sea and the storms of life are tossing us to and fro, even breaking up and destroying everything that we have used as the security for our lives, losing family, losing job, losing security blankets that we have in our lives when all we have left sometime is the broken pieces of what used to be the security of our life. But the promise of God is that if you will abide in Him, where He told Paul they must abide in the ship, if you will abide in Christ, there will be no loss of life. God will make you a survivor, and what you are going through will become the testimony of what you went through and came out with the glory and victory of God on your side. Each and every one of us can be survivors if we tie that to the obedience that we have in God. Even as they said in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion soldier, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Do what he tells you and you'll reap the reward of what he promised.
You know what? Even in the word of God, it talks about in John, he says, if you abide in me and my word in you, he says, whatsoever thing that you ask for, he says that you will receive. If we read the word of God, if we have faith in God, if we obey God's instructions, that we shall be saved, meaning that we shall be delivered out of whatever situation that we find ourselves in. The scriptures has everything that we need pertaining to life. If we find ourselves in a bad situation, God is able to bring us out.
Paul is admonishing them in verse 10. He says, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. He is giving them warning that we should not set sail on this voyage because there is going to be harm that's going to come to us. And they went ahead and did it anyway. And that reminds us, that reminds me of us most time. God will give us a warning and send us a warning and tell us not to do a thing through his word, through his prophet, through signs, and we'll do it anyway. But the blessed part about God is that he's so full of mercy. I mean, even though Paul said we shouldn't do it, and they decided to do it anyway, the Bible says God came to Paul while they were on the ship in the middle of their storm, and that's when you need him most, and that's when he shows up. He came to Paul, and he said, listen, except these abide in the ship, they will not be saved. But if they stay in the ship, if they do what I tell them to do, it might not be pretty. The way you come out may not be pretty. It won't be the way you want it to come out. You might not smell like roses and you might not look your Sunday best, but he will get you through what you're going through and you will come out intact with your life. Paul said, listen, I told you not to set sail and you did it anyway, but the mercy of God is going to deliver you if you will be obedient to his instruction. I don't know about you, LJ Renee, but many, many times in my life, I had to fall upon the mercy of God because he had told me what to do, but I decided to do it different than what he said. But even when I got out there of my own accord, doing it my own way, he was merciful to me and he still delivered me.
You know, when I think about this particular scripture, I'm thinking about Paul being the intercessor in this whole situation. It was Paul who heard the voice of the Lord, and it was Paul that gave the word that the Lord has spoken to him to the individuals that were on that ship. And when I look at the situation, when it was Paul given the instructions, well, the people decided that they wanted to adhere to what the captain of the ship was saying more so than they wanted to listen to Paul. And the reason why is they figured that the captain of the ship had more knowledge of the storm. He knew how to guide the ship. He knew how to maneuver it. So therefore, they felt that the captain knew more than Paul.
But we do the same thing. But doesn't the captain have a vested interest in them setting sail in his ship? I mean, that's business for the captain.
Right.
So sometimes people don't have your best interest at heart, and they're telling you things. And what happens is we're looking at the outward appearance. They look up in the sky. There's no clouds. There's no storm. So they think, and the captain's been sailing all his life. This is his ship. So the captain said, you'll be okay. Go ahead and go. The man of God is saying, don't go. This is not going to be good for you. They chose to heed the word of the captain.
Instead of the word of Paul. And you know what? They knew Paul. If they never knew Paul was a man of God, then they knew as they got out into the storm storm, they knew that he definitely was a man of God. And because they were facing this tempest that was so strong, they realized that the captain really wasn't prepared for this situation.
And didn't know what to do.
So they knew that in order for them to survive this situation, they were going to have to listen to the man of God. And that's what happens sometimes in our own life. We are hearing the people in the world more so than we are hearing to the word of God, until we get into that storm and that situation where all the experts and the instructors, they can't tell you how to get out of the situation, because little do they know that this is a spiritual battle.
Amen.
And it's not a natural. They can only tell you from what goes on in the natural.
You gotta say, what does the Lord say?
And do you know what is the most magnificent thing is that when people have exhausted, you know this, that people, when you work in your office, they know that you are a Bible reader, they know that you're a woman of God and you're praying, and yet they talk about you and they mock you. But when you get in trouble,
when their back's up against
the wall, they are the first one to come to you and say, you are a praying woman, and I know that God hears your prayers, and whatever God tells you to tell me, I'm going to do.
I done tried everything.
Or there's someone come to you say, do you have a word from the Lord for me in my situation? Because they know that all natural means have been exhausted. Mm. And now they're going to try. They know that you are man or woman of God, and they know that you know how to get the prayer through, that you have favor with God.
And you know, I don't doubt that. I know the captain wanted the business, because, you know, they didn't just get on that ship for free. But I don't doubt that the captain probably did consult the normal and the natural means that a captain might consult. He probably looked at the weather logs. He probably looked at the forecast. But that's what's so amazing about God. Think about Jonah when he got on board of a ship. There was no forecast of a storm. It's something that God controls. I mean, think about even in your own life, day to day, you listen to the weather forecast. There are some days when they say sunny and clear skies, and you go outside and everything's good, and in the middle of your day it starts to rain, and you say, that weatherman didn't predict this, because the weatherman can't control the weather. They can only tell you their best guess of what's going to happen. But I'd rather put my trust in the one that controls when the clouds open up, controls when the clouds will close, controls when the rain will come. And if he chooses to stop the wind and the rain, he has the ability and the authority to speak to the wind and the wind. Even the disciples said, what manner of man is this? When Jesus said, peace, be still. I choose to put my trust in the one that can say, peace, be still. And if he doesn't calm the storm, he'll make sure that I make it through the storm. God will make sure that he delivers you by any means necessary.
Yes, and sometimes that deliverance, if you look in the 18th through the 20th verse, if we're reading from the Message Bible, you know what happened is that when they were facing that storm, that says on the third day, they began to start taking things out the ship, trying to lighten the load because it had too much weight on the ship. And so they began to start tossing things out. And you know what I think that's symbolic of is that in the instructions of the Lord, there are some things that you got to take responsibility for, that you got to begin to start casting some things out and off of you in order for you to survive. When God begins to place his finger on some things in your life that you need to do in order to get through this storm, then that means you're going to have to do it. And so just as we read here in verse 18 through 20 on the Message Bible, it says, next day out of the high seas again and badly damaged now by the storm, we dumped the cargo overboard. The third day, the sailors lightened the ship further by throwing off all the tackle and provision. It had been many days since we have seen either sun or stars, wind and waves were battering us unmercifully, and we lost all hope of rescue. I'm telling you, there are situations that you will be in that you got to cast off some restraints. You got to get rid of the little foxes in the hole. You got to look at yourself, and when God pinpointed, you got to say, okay, God, because you know what? Sometimes your back is up against a wall, and you're saying, God, whatever I need to do to get through this thing, I'll do. And that's casting some things off in order to lighten the burden that you should go through, because you're really in this situation. Your mind is saying, this is hopeless. I can't do this on my own. What is it that I'm going to have to do? I need to be rescued. And the Bible says, and the Lord says, lighten the load, get rid of some things, and then you'll be able to survive this storm.
And they said all hope was gone. Oh. But didn't God say of Abraham, he hoped against hope? Sometimes you got to hope against hope. When all hope is gone, the only solution you got left is the Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God, that's when he showed up for them in verse number 21. Yes. After all of their hope was gone, God came by and spoke unto Paul. He gave him a word. And the thing I like about it is God gave Paul the word the first time, they wouldn't heed it. But then when judgment came because of their disobedience, when they began to lose all hope, no stars, no sun for many days, all of their hope that they would be saved was gone. When God sent the word the second time, there's a point of desperation that you will say, God, whatever you say, I will do. I don't care how crazy it sounds. I know I've been disobedient, but God, if you get me out of this one, I will make sure I make it right to you. There's a place where God will take you when you will be crying for God to give you a word, begging for God to give you instruction, desperate to follow the will of God, and he will give you that word. But I'm telling you, you don't have to always get to that point of desperation. But when you do, if your back is up against the wall, say, Lord, what would you have me do?
I'm even reading the verse in 23 through 26, and it was talking about Paul was saying that the Lord says we're going to survive this thing, so take heart. He said, but know this, he says, but we are going to shipwreck on some island or another. I mean, what he's basically saying is that we're going to have some days ahead of us that's going to be hard, it's going to be rough, it's going to look like we're not going to make it through, but the word of God says that you are going to survive this situation as long as you stay in the boat. But he's saying this, he says, just hold on, that God is going to bring us through the storm, but we have some hard days ahead. That's just like when God tells you to gird up your loins. He said, gird up your loins, prepare yourself for this, or like when God says, endure hardship as a good soldier. He said, I'm not taking you out of this thing, but I'm going to give you the power to endure, because there's a lesson in this that you're going to have to learn in order for you to survive, not only this time, but the next time that you have to go through.
So
you're going to learn.
Next time you will heed the word the first time. So you have to go through some stuff, but God's going to get you to where he needs to get you to, but it's not going to be easy. He never said it would be easy, but what he promised them is that you will survive. I mean, you might have to swim to shore. You might have to come in on a broken piece. You might come in on splintered boards, but you will survive. You can make it. Broken promises and shattered dreams, no hope it seems, still I believe that I can make it by faith. I can make it.
You know,
I can make it through the sunshine and the rain.
I will survive. And I know let's go.
as the Lord is on my side, everything I know will be all right. That's what Paul was trying to tell him. Said, listen, as long as you stay in the boat, everything's going to be all right. But see, I like this part in verse 30 and verse 32. It says some of the sailors tried to jump the ship. You know,
bad idea.
You know, when you're in a storm, you're not a lot of times you're not in the storm all by yourself. But others tried to get away, said, I don't have to follow these instructions. I can just do what I want to do. But the verse says that some of the sailors tried to jump ship. They let down the lifeboat, pretending they were going to set out more anchors from the bow. And Paul saw through their guise and told the centurion and his soldiers, if these soldiers don't stay on the ship, he says, we are all going down. So the soldiers cut the lines to the lifeboat and let it adrift. And I mean, there's some things that you're going to have to cut away from you in order to survive the storm.
I mean, you got to watch who you keep company with, because sometimes it'll pull you down. Sometimes you got to let go of all that baggage and move on from where you are. Sometimes you got to say, if what is around me is holding me down, I don't want to be stuck with this. Sometimes you got to say, God, would you cause me to rise above my circumstance and my situation, above the naysayers, the doubters, and the unbelievers, and take me to a higher plane? And if they don't want to go, then you got to leave them where they are. Don't let people keep you from getting the blessings that God has in store for you. God said to Paul that except these abide in the ship, they shall not be saved, but there will be no loss of life to anyone that abides in this ship. We're only in the situation we're in because we were disobedient in the first place. So any way that God delivers you is the mercy and the grace of God.
My Lord. So what do we learn from this is that God is able to rescue us from all storms if we are obedient and we stay in the will of the Lord. How do we do that? Again, it goes back to where we are obedient to the instructions of the Lord. And you know what? He says, I never fail. Whatever I told you to do, he says, I'm the one that's going to watch over it and make sure that it is performed. Whatever storm that you are going through, know that God is able to bring you through. It might look like your back is up against the wall. It may look like there is no hope. But just as Abraham said, it was written of him, says that Abraham hoped against hope. When it looks like nothing is there, he's saying God is always with you.
And the truth is, in verse 24, the Bible says, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. They didn't realize who they had in the ship. Paul had been appointed by God to be the one who would write the majority of the New Testament. There were some chapters he had not yet written. There were some testimonies he had not yet experienced. There were some lives he had not yet spoken into. There was some work he had not yet done. The Bible says you have to come before Caesar. So God's not going to let you die. And because you're on this ship, Paul, the Bible says he will give you every man's life that's on this ship with you. He said there shall be no loss of life of any man on this ship. The one thing that we got to remember is that because you are on that job, because you are in that school, because you get on board that plane, because you are riding that bus, because you are in that car, there has been deliverance dispatched where you are, because you are a child of God and your destiny has not yet been fulfilled. Until God says that it's time, you shall live and not die, because God has need of you.
It is all about purpose, is what God has purposed for your life. And just as you had mentioned, he had told Paul that he had to go before Caesar. And so that meant that if God said that you have to go before, that means you have to go before. Whatever God has purposed for you to do, that's exactly what's going to happen. And you had mentioned about when they were down in the boat and they said, Master, do you carest thou if we perish? And I mean, before that, the Lord had told them that they were going on to the other side, even though there is a storm. He says, you are still going on to the other side because I have a purpose for your life. And that which come into your life is to build you up, not to tear you down.
And the last thing is in verse 42, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose. Listen, the enemy has a purpose too. And his purpose is to kill, steal, and to destroy your life. But thanks be unto God that he always places his own people in position that prevent the enemy from his purpose. He keeps the enemy from killing you. He kept the enemy from killing the prisoners because Paul was a prisoner aboard that ship. And had they snuffed out his life, it would have snuffed out his purpose. God will have the unrighteous defend you. God will have the unjust judge give you what you need. God will have the unrighteous people bless you. God will deliver you.
And you know what? Even in when we go to the next chapter, and he says that everyone was accounted for. Mm. It says that we learned that we were on the island of Malta. It says the natives went out of their way to be friendly to us. And it's exactly as you're saying, as you come through that storm, God has a reward for you at the end. God has someone that is going to show you favor to the point where you will see what all this was for that you have gone through. Hold on, because there is a reward on the other side.
Dear God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for your favor. We thank you, God, that you have loved us with an everlasting love. We thank you that even when we find ourselves in dilemmas that we get into by our own disobedience, that you are still merciful and gracious unto us. We thank you that you have looked beyond our faults and met our needs. We thank you that you have sent word that we shall survive and we can make it through Christ Jesus. Yes. God, you are our deliverer. You are our king. You are our God. And there is nothing too hard for you. And I speak over this people listening to this broadcast this morning. Oh God, may you make them all survivors. Give them a testimony of your greatness, a testimony of your power. May we cleave to the word of God. May we be obedient to the instructions of the Lord. And may we see the manifested glory of God come to pass in our life. We give you glory. We give you honor to the only wise God, our Savior. We lift this prayer and we proclaim the victory.
God bless America.
What do you know about the Constitution of the United States of America?
Is the Constitution still relevant?
Does it align with the Word of God?
Why should we care?
It is not about the donkey. It is not about the elephant. It is about the Lamb.
Plan now to join us on October 10th at 12 noon for our next Biblical Foundation of the Constitution presentation. It will be held at the Martin Luther King branch of the Columbus Library, located at 1600 East Long Street in Columbus, Ohio. This event is free, but space is limited, so let us know if you plan to attend. Go to our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. And remember, lunch is on us.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.